About that, I want to thank you, though, before we do that. I want to thank you for all the parents, the grandparents, the family of faith for just helping me bless these students and these teachers and surrounding them and praying over them. Listen, one of the biggest parts of the DNA of this church, one of the things that we are absolutely committed to in this church above everything else is the development of children and youth for the purpose of the kingdom of God. It's we are always going to divert more attention that way. That's just the way it's going to be. We're always going to focus on children. We are always going to focus on our teenagers. We are always going to divert a lot of our resources that direction. It's not because we don't love the adults. It's because we're building something that has to outlive us. Come on. We're building something that has to keep moving forward and advancing long after we're gone. We're part of a church that is not seasonal, we're generational. See, we live too temporary. We live investing in temporary things. Guys, I'm not interested in temporary. I'm interested in the long haul. Come on. And so I want to thank you guys for coming up and responding so quickly. You know, it blesses me as a pastor when I stand up there on the stage. I don't like to stand up there on the stage too much because it makes me feel like I'm looking down. I don't like that. But when I get up there, when I call those kids forward and I see those kids coming, and I already see expectation in them. Come on, they already expect God to do something. And then when I say, parents, would you come? Friends, would you come? Grandparents, would you come? And the instantaneous response for people to move forward and to get out of their seat, it tells us that we're all on the same page. Amen? God is about to do something fantastic in this generation. I don't know if you know this, but I am not worried about the future because the future is going to be just fine because God is raising up a more powerful generation than anything we've ever seen. They're going to blow our doors off. I'm telling you. And we get to invest in it. We get to be a part of saying, go. Amen? We're going to cheer them on. So I wanted to thank you for that. Man, we've got so many good things going on. That's why it's important that we get our kids here, we get them to Children's Church, we get them in to Royal Rangers and to Girls Ministry to be able to disciple them. Listen, on midweek, those kids are learning Scripture, they're learning the Word, and they're learning how to get stuff done. I am so excited about what's going on with those guys. I mean, they're really making a difference up there. They're being taught right now. Our youth, man, I don't know if you know this, but if you ever get to take the time to meet some of these teenagers, they're awesome. They are awesome. They defy every stereotype of what we say teenagers are. They're passionate. They're smart. They got a heart for God. They're going to do great things. Can we just, come on, let's bless them. They're awesome. They need to know at every turn we are for them and not against them. Amen? We are for them. Guys, we're for you. We're for you. We're gonna believe God to do great things in you, and we're gonna hold you accountable for what God's doing, because we know you can do it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, and then let's jump into the Word. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that your Word is life. I thank you, God, that you are speaking to our hearts, and I thank you, God, that through your Word that we can be changed. Today, Father, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and give us hearts that are prepared to receive and to be forever changed. That when we walk out of this place here today, we're going to walk out an inspired people breathing life into every area of the community where we go. And I thank you, God, it's because you speak into us that we're able to do that in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. We've been talking over the last few weeks, and this is going to be the third week I've been speaking on joy. We've been looking at Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things, Bible says, there's no law. There's no government that can stop the advancement of inspiration of the fruit of the Spirit from growing into your life. The only person who can stop these things from being produced in your life is you. You. And God has called us to be an inspired people, to live an inspired life. And in order for that to happen, there has to be a partnership with the power of the living God through the person of the Holy Spirit, where he invades our life and he begins to not just create an inflow into us, but there has to be an outflow coming out of us into our community to be able to affect what's going on. God desires us not just to be inspired, but to inspire others. Breathe life into them. And the way we do that is by allowing the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in our life. And it's love was the first one. The second one we began to talk about was joy. And this is the third week. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, I defined joy this way. I said sometimes joy is one of those entities that can't be quantified, but you know it when you see it. Amen? You know it when it's in your present in your life. And you also know it when it's not. You feel its absence. And the best way I know to describe what joy is I equate it to this way. For me, in my mind, joy is energy. Joy is something that creates energy in my life that puts me in motion, that drives me forward. Joy is fuel for the purpose of God. Amen? How many of you know your car needs fuel to get where it needs to go? Not a trick question. Do you know a car needs fuel? Come on, wake up. Do you know a car needs fuel to get where it needs to go? Amen? How many of you know your body needs fuel to perform? Right? Your spirit needs joy to progress and to advance. Amen? And so we're talking about joy and how it is quantifiable and how we can say it. But to complete any journey, we know that there has to be a sufficient supply of fuel along the way. And on the journey of life, we need to know where to get joy and where to refuel. Amen? We have to know that God desires us to live this way. We already know that our supply of joy comes from being in a relationship with Jesus. How many of you know Jesus is the source? God is the source of all joy. Amen? Anything we talked about last week that you use in your life to create joy outside of Him is temporal. If that new job brings you joy, guess what happens if that job is your source of joy? What happens when that job goes away? Your joy goes away. Amen? If that relationship with that person, whether that be a spouse, whether that be a family member, whether that be a child, if that relationship is your source of joy, what happens if something happens to that relationship? Your joy goes away. God needs to be the source of our joy. You know, something interesting. My wife creates great joy in my life, but it's unfair for me. It's unfair for me toward her to make her the source of my joy. No person can live under that expectation. Period. No friend can live up to that expectation. It's not fair for me to say, you will now be my sole source of joy. How many of you know that would crush a person? But yet we do that, don't we? We don't say it, we don't verbalize it, but we do it. We do it with our children, we do it with friends and family. And the truth is what we're then doing is if I do that, then what I am saying is I'm setting her up as God in my life. And she can't be that. And I can't be that for her. Jesus must be the source. Amen? Must be the source. The supply comes from God, and the genuine joy of Jesus is activated in our life through this scripture. Can we put up, let's go ahead and put the scripture up real quick, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these things remain. I love this scripture because it's simple. It breaks it down. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Joy comes into our life and is activated mainly through faith, hope, and love being in motion in our life. Amen? Think about it. Faith in God activates joy. Hope in Christ activates joy. Feeling the Father's love for me in my broken state activates joy. Do you see how this works? Right? That when I'm living with faith, that when I'm living with hope, and when I'm allowing the love of God to be poured out onto me, I get to live with joyful expectation in all things. It's hard to be sad. Come on. It's hard to be sad when you know God loves you perfectly. Amen? It's hard not to celebrate. Listen, you know, the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my life was when I realized God actually loved me. I know it sounds so simple because we start singing in Sunday school, Jesus loved me, this I know. Right? But there's a moment when it goes from the head to the heart. There's a moment when we say it this way, when the penny drops, and you realize, oh my goodness, God perfectly loves me. Even in my chaos, even in the midst of my imperfection, even in the midst of some, quite frankly, let's be honest, some destructive patterns and behaviors, I am still perfectly loved. That's joy. Come on, when that settles into your heart, come, you're not getting this, listen. You're not getting this. Ain't nobody awake in here. How many of you understand that no matter what you do, God's going to love you? Now you say amen. How many of you understand no matter what you do or what you have done, God is going to love you no matter what, and you can't change that? When you get a realization of that, you can't sit there and go, oh, yes, that's very nice. Listen, I have done and participated and thought some hellish things. I don't know about you, but this is a pastor saying it. And God loves me. There's no greater source of joy in my life than that understanding. That no matter what happens, God will remain. What did it say? These three things remain: faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love. Who is love? God is love. He is the greatest of these. You have the greatest in love with you. That's awesome. That's awesome. And that, all of a sudden, begins to fuel my heart, fuel my life. It brings joy into my life. And you know what's wonderful about that? Here's what's fantastic about that. Faith is a gift. Somebody say amen. Everlasting hope flows to those people who are believing God. Amen? And God's love comes into my life without merit. I can't earn it. It's given freely, and nothing can stop God from loving me. And we need these things to come from God to lift up our joy levels. And because of it, we will never hear some of the following things. You will never go to God, and He will never say to you, when it comes to faith, hope, love, and joy, He will never say to you, I'm sorry, I'm out of stock. He's never going to say that to us. Whenever we go to Him, He's not going to say, I don't have enough for you. He's got more than enough. Amen? Listen, he's not going to say, you know, when you try to get a hold of Him, how many of you know you ever try to get a hold of somebody, you need to get a hold of them, and they're not available? Right? Keeps going to voicemail. And you really need to get a hold of them? Usually that's my wife. I'm trying to get a hold of you. Hi, you reach Karen. Hi, you reach Karen. So then I just start getting like snarky about it. I'm like, why do you even have a phone if I can't get a hold of you? Every dude in this building has said that at some point. And then you start sending texts, and then you're like, hello, where are you? And I start like, you know, and then later I'll get a phone call like, you know, an hour later. Oh, I just saw you were trying to get a hold of me. Did you need something? No, I just felt like being a psycho stalker for 30 minutes. Yes, I needed something from you. Oh, well, I put my phone down and I forgot where it was. I couldn't find it. Oh, no, I'm not making a joke. That's a real excuse. God will never be unavailable. Come on. He's never going to be unavailable to us. That's a source of great joy to my life. Amen? You know what? He's got more than enough. He's got more than enough in supply for me. As a matter of fact, you will never say, God, I need some joy. I need some fuel in this situation. And he will never say, I'm sorry. You've already used up your daily allowance. Isn't that awesome? He won't say that to us. It's always going to be available. It's always going to be there. He doesn't run short. Our God has more than enough to meet your need. Amen? And you know what? God always delivers. Always. When we need God to come through with a supply of joy for us, that delivery doesn't get lost by UPS. Amazon Prime does not get it mixed up. God delivers. He does what he says he's going to do every time. Amen? May not do it the way you think he should, but God always delivers. We are connected to the great source of joy. You know, it's interesting. Whenever we don't deliver on our promises, how many of you have ever failed to deliver on a promise? Yeah? How many of you ever failed to deliver on a promise to God? Ooh. Some of you are brave and put your hands up. The rest of you look at me going, I'm just going to believe that's rhetorical, and I don't have to answer that. See, when we don't deliver on a promise, we just look at God and say, I'm sorry. God will never have to say, I'm sorry. Because he'll never fail to deliver on his promise. I'm sharing these things with you because I want to incite joy within you. See, sometimes we get out into that mess out there, and it's very easy to lose our focus. It's very easy to see the confusion. It's very easy to see the problematic situations. It's very easy to get wrapped up in the hustle, the bustle, the grind of it all. How many of you know life wants to grind you down? It wants to wear you out. It wants to exhaust you. But if we remain connected and we allow our perspective to be that of when we come into worship, when we come into God's presence, we understand that God's promises to me are yes and amen. You know, amen, it's a real Christian-y word. It just means let it be as I have said. If God said it, it will be. Amen? Amen? Thank you. All right, you guys are waking up a little bit. I don't know if it's because everybody understands we got to go to school tomorrow. You understand I say we got to go to school tomorrow? Because parents have to get up and take you to school tomorrow? We are not happy about that. Why in the world we start football practice at 6 in the morning? That was ridiculous. That does not bring me joy. Not a source of joy for me. See, the wonderful thing about God's joy in my life is because God's joy is exponential. You guys under math. You want multiplication or you want exponential? You want addition or you want exponential? What do you want? They don't know. They're like, it's summer still. I'm not answering that question. God's joy in our life has an exponential effect within us and within the people around us. The joy of the Lord, fuel from God's limitless supply of faith, hope, and love. It has this power. It's an exponential power. And the power of joy can lift you above and beyond whatever circumstance, whatever tragedy, whatever trauma you're dealing with right now. You know, it's the beautiful thing about this walk of faith. God didn't say it was going to be easy. Great news. But he did say he would supply all your needs. Amen? And he knows one of your needs is joy. One of your needs is celebration. One of your needs is that fuel to continue in purpose, even when trauma and tragedy and chaos surround us. See, the beauty of the life of faith is not shown in the comfortable times. The beauty of the work of Christ in us shines the brightest at maybe some of the darkest moments of our life. It sustains us. And here's where it gets exponential. When people see you walk through those situations, yet joy emanates from you. How many of you know that blesses others? It begins to affect others. How many of you know that that has the power to begin to change that situation? To begin to minimize the darkness and allow the light of God to shine. Come on. Listen, you were called for that moment, whether you like it or not. I didn't say you had to like every moment of your life, but understand you were called to that moment. You're there now. The moment's here. You've got two choices. You can either cry about being in the moment. Come on. Or you can just decide we're going to choose joy in this moment. We're going to choose joy in this struggle. See, that's the real power of faith. That's the real power of Christ. You know, I remember, you know, when we're coming up and we're studying, you look at the Book of Martyrs. How many of you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Or you look at the stories of the first century church and how they had been so impacted by this faith, by this Jesus, that even when they were dragged in front of the most harsh of environments in the Roman arenas, where they were put on display, where they were put on spectacle, they began to sing psalms and hymns and praise. And Christianity grew like wildfire. Exponential effect. See, the interesting thing is this. Whenever we find ourselves in a difficult situation, which you have to be in, it seems like our problems outnumber us. You ever felt like that? You've been outnumbered by your problems? You need an exponential effect to kick in. See, when the enemy starts adding on a problem, if you choose joy, come on, he's adding, you're working in exponents. You understand how exponents work, right? It's times itself, times itself, times itself, times itself. See, the enemy works in addition. He's going to add a problem, but you're going to respond with joy, and it's going to be an exponent. And that joy is going to begin to outnumber whatever the enemy can pile on. It's a numbers game. He's going to add one. You're going to move in an exponent. Joy begins to create and develop, and before you know it, the enemy can't keep up with you. He doesn't have enough to deal with the exponential increase of God's joy in your life. He cannot stand up to it. You will overwhelm him. Instead of being overwhelmed, come on, you will overwhelm him. Instead of feeling like you're being buried under, he's going to be running the other way saying, I can't carry this load. Come on. And all of this is by choice. By choice. So if the enemy is overwhelming you, that's your choice. Can I say that again? Are you going to give me that evil eye if I say it one more time? If the enemy is overwhelming you, that's your choice. When you have the full capability to overwhelm him with joy. Amen? You say, Pastor James, that's really cute to say in a nice sermon, but how's that work in reality? Pastor James, you've never been through what I've been through. No, I've bled a lot. This red book I'm reading right now is one of my, it's jumping into my top five, and it's called Leadership Pain. We have a terrible theology for pain in the North American church, by the way. I need to teach on pain one day. But it says this, if you're not bleeding, you're not leading. And the truth is, you say, Pastor James, that's wonderful, that's great. You don't know what's going on in my life, but guess what? You don't know what's going on in mine. Because we don't always stand up here and broadcast everything that goes on. We don't broadcast when people that you pour into choose to call you and say, thanks, but no thanks. We don't broadcast when people take advantage of us. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because I get to walk in here on a Sunday, and I get to look out, and I get to see all the people that are for me, and I start to realize there are more for me than there are against me. And all of a sudden, joy begins to come up into my heart and well up in my life, and it doesn't matter. We're overwhelming the enemy. I choose joy in this place. See, joy is not so weak that it is relegated to an emotional state. That's fragile. How many of you know your emotions are fragile? Joy is not fragile. Joy is substantive. It's fuel. It's directly placed within us from a person. Oh, somebody's iPad got excited. Hey, your iPad just decided to praise at that moment. I don't know. That was his iPad bursting out with joy in the moment. See, what happens is our circumstances don't get to dictate the joy of the Lord in our life. And too often we relegate joy as the more as subjective to instead of being in authority over circumstances. Am I okay this morning? Are you okay this morning? Amen? See, listen, God wants to bring you to deal from a position of strength, not your strength, His. His strength in you, working in you, moving through you to make a difference. And it's in those moments of pain, it's sometimes in those moments of struggle where joy is the strongest. Joy needs to be strongest. We determine the level of joy in our life. Joy is dependent upon human activation. So if you say to me, Pastor James, I'm not experiencing joy in my life, and you begin to say, okay, I'm going to go to this church and I'm going to see if that creates joy in me. Okay, I'm going to go to this relationship and see if that creates joy in me. Nothing will ever be able to manufacture joy for you. You have to choose to live with joy. Come on. But you say, man, that sounds hard. But can I tell you what the alternative is? Let me ask you a question. Would you rather have control of your joy level, or you want everybody else to be in control of your joy levels? Come on. How many of you want me to control your joy level? Right? Well, maybe me, I'd be like, be happy. You know, I'd just like throw the meter all the way up. We want control over everything else in our life, yet when we find ourselves in a place where we say, oh, I'm just in a dry and weary spot, there's no joy in my life, somehow that's everybody else's fault but ours. Dang, Pastor, back up. That's mean. But it's true. It's what Scripture tells us. All of a sudden, you're not finding joy in your life, and you're looking for somebody to blame. Oh, I didn't mean to go here. I'm so sorry. But you're looking for somebody to hang that on. Well, if this person would do that. Well, if this person hadn't said that. Well, if this person were better at this. If this person would see things the way I see it. If this situation would line up. If this, come on. And then all of a sudden, we start giving out our joy level, the control button for our joy, to everybody else but us. And we want to blame everybody else but us, but the word is very clear. Joy is up to you. You choose your level. Amen? And it's not based on your circumstance. It's based on, am I going to be close to God or am I not? Amen? And if we will do that, see, that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy is trying to get you to give away your power. He's trying to get you to surrender your power. He's trying to get you to surrender and say, I guess I just got to live with it. And God's up there going, no, you don't. I never intended for you to live that way. He did not send Jesus to walk the path he walked, to be broken on a cross, to be crucified, and to go into the depths of hell itself, and to rise again 3 days later so that we could be fragile. He didn't do all that for us to go, oh well. Now, teenagers, this is the only time you're going to hear me say this. But sometimes you got to catch an attitude. Not with me. My son's in the booth. Sometimes we have to catch an attitude. Hear me. Sometimes, you know, I say this thing, I say it as a joke, and my wife hates it. And every time she says it, she's like even saying, don't say it right now. Like, but kind of as a joke, she'll say, hey, I need you to do this for me, and I'll walk away. Mom, I'll say, I'll do what I want. You know, with my head down, because I know I got to duck quick, you know. Rhonda will say, hey, you know, Pastor, you got a meeting at this time. I'm like, I do what I want. You know, but I say it as a joke. But, you know, I was thinking about that this week, and there's an attitude behind that that says, I'm going to do what I want to do regardless of what anybody else says. Boy, we like to have that attitude in a lot of other places, but how about when it comes to the moment of joy when the enemy's trying to steal from us? At some point, we got to catch an attitude with the enemy that says this, well, hallelujah anyway. Almost like, it's like, you know what I mean? You see what I'm saying? Where it's like, I'm going to pile on. Do what you want. Hallelujah. I'm going to praise anyway. I'm going to praise anyway. I'm going to give thanks anyway. I'm going to be grateful anyway. I'm going to choose joy anyway. We catch an attitude about everything else but that. And at some point, we have to begin to catch an attitude with the enemy when he begins to say, I'm going to dictate this situation. You look at him and say, you can do whatever you think you can do over there. I'm going to get an attitude that says, I'm going to praise God anyway, no matter what you do. Because no weapon fashioned against me is going to prosper. So you try your best, but I'm just going to praise God anyway. Because at the end of the day, you might look like you're winning for a few minutes, but when it's all said and done, you're already lost. I'm going to praise God anyway. I like how Paul said it. He said it this way. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you let me live, I'm going to praise God. And if you kill me, you're doing me a favor because I'm going to be with him. So you can do nothing to me. Ooh, that's scary. See, that's dangerous. That's dangerous to the enemy. That's dangerous to, come on, you don't want to go up against somebody who just has that type of mentality. You can't do a thing to me. You can't touch me. You can't hurt me. I'm going to praise God anyway. You can swing. You can do your best, and I might limp a little. I might bleed, but I win. Come on. But I win. And I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to give thanks to God anyway. I'm going to say hallelujah anyway. There's nothing you can do. I'm going to catch an attitude with you. See, if we quit being a woe is me type church, if we quit walking around saying, woe is me, And we started realizing how powerful we really are through Christ Jesus. If we ever woke up to the fact that we are eternal, unstoppable beings with a secure destiny in forever. You hear me? You can't be killed. Think about this. You're going to live for eternity. And because of what Christ has done, you get to live for eternity with Him. Quit making permanently bad decisions over temporary things. It's a season. I'm going to outlive this. And when this problem is long gone, we're going to be here shining, praising Him anyway. Amen? Worship team, come. We're going to close here in just a moment. See, today is your day to make a choice. Today is your day to choose joy. I can't control it. As a matter of fact, God doesn't control it. You do. You do. And I don't want to be insensitive, and I don't want to act like your problems aren't real, because they are. But I also know this, they're real temporary in the light of eternity. And I also know this, the enemy's been defeated. Once and for all, he's been defeated. So you're not choosing victory. The victory is already established. You're choosing to operate in the victory. There's a difference. You're choosing to apply what's already been afforded. You're not asking for victory to come. Victory has already been established and settled through Christ on the cross. You're just going to choose to live in it and get an attitude with the enemy. Enemy, you might be messing with my business right now, but hallelujah anyway. Enemy, you might be trying to mess with some of my relationships right now. Hallelujah anyway. Enemy, you might be trying to create strife within my home. Hallelujah anyway. Instead of cursing that person, I'm going to start blessing them. I'm going to choose joy. Amen? I'm going to choose to live in the victory that's already been afforded to me. It says this in Scripture. I want to read this. Let's adapt an attitude of hallelujah anyway. It says in Psalm 30, verse 11, it says, you have turned my mourning into what? What kind of dancing? Joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning, and you have clothed me with what? No. With what? Joy. See, God's good at making trades. Our mourning for His dancing, our sorrow for His joy. And one of my favorite things to say is this, and then, once we've got a hold of that, what's the purpose of dancing? To dance into battle. Children of Israel, whenever they went to war, and by the way, they were known as one of the most devastating armies of the Middle East at that time. People feared them tremendously. And everywhere they went, people feared them because they knew God was with them. They put the praisers in the front. they put the worshipers in the front. And those praises, and listen, now, I'm going to tell you, have you guys ever seen Jewish festivals? Have you guys ever seen a Jewish celebration? How many of you know they don't praise like Protestants and Pentecostals? Come on. They don't. This is not how they went into battle. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. That's not what they did. Man, they know how to celebrate because they had lived under bondage. They had lived under slavery. They had been set free. They had tasted oppression and seen redemption. And they danced into battle. They would put those praisers on the front line. Let me tell you, you want to know what would be scary? Imagine being on the other side, being the other army. And here comes this army with a reputation. And not only do they have a reputation for being brutal and efficient in battle, are they dancing? Are they literally celebrating right now as they're getting ready to fight? Imagine your warriors are sitting there. I mean, they're nervous. They're young. They're getting ready to go in. And then you look out and you see an army coming at you in celebration. That's scary. Because all of a sudden you start going, what do they know that I don't know? What's going on with them that I can't see? Why are they dancing like that? That'd make me nervous. They were winning the battle before they ever hit the field because they knew how to hallelujah anyway. They were so convinced God was going to give them the victory. They had the freedom to celebrate on the way into the bloodshed. The battle hadn't even started yet, and they were dancing. Because if God is for me, come on, who can be against me? Joy and praise were on their lips as they stepped onto the field of battle. And how many times in Scripture did they not even have to fight? Because the armies turned on themselves. God fought for them. Amen? See, you just got to gear up for the battle and begin to praise. And understand the battle belongs to the Lord. That's why you can praise. Because it's not about your ability. Am I blessing somebody today? See, joy is not a weak, fleeting emotion that happens only when we're happy. Joy is a fuel and an energy and a substance that causes us to dance as we enter into some of the greatest challenges of our life, knowing we're fueled by joy, we can dance into battle, and the victory belongs to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I want an attitude that says, praise God anyway, hallelujah anyway, the battle belongs to the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Let me pray for you. I want to ask a question. It's real simple. We're going to do two things. It's real quickly. I'm not going to take a long time to do this. Because once again, this is not my decision. This is yours. But how many of you would be willing to say today, you know what? There's a situation going on in my life that's really trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Trying to take joy away from me. And if you're in that type of situation right now, how many of you would have the guts to say, that's me, with every head up and every eye looking around? That's me. Amen? Now, by that admission, you just raised your hand, and what you've said is, I have a choice. You didn't really say, I have a problem. You said, I have a choice to make. That's what you just admitted to. And you have the choice to either allow that situation to overwhelm you, or you're going to choose joy, and you're going to overwhelm it. through the power of the Holy Spirit, by his goodness, you're going to dance into battle. And by raising your hand, how many of you would say, today, I'm going to choose to adopt an attitude of hallelujah anyway. If that's you, put your hand up. Amen. Amen. Father, you just see every hand that just went up. And Lord, there are real situations that are going on. There are real struggles. There are real battles that are going on. But we're not going to allow those circumstances and situations to dictate our joy. They are not the boss of us. Today, we choose joy. We choose to celebrate and to grab hold of an attitude that says this, hallelujah anyway. God, we're going to praise you no matter what. We're going to give you the glory no matter what. And we know that in a short period of time, this situation will be overwhelmed in Jesus' name. We know that it's temporary. We know that it's a season and that we will see the other end of it by your goodness and by your mercy. And because we understand that the victory is already secure, come on, we're going to choose to dance into battle tomorrow. We're going to choose to walk out of this place dancing in our spirits, dancing in our hearts, and declaring the victory of God over every situation that we're in. We may not see it, but God, you've already won it. Hallelujah anyway. Amen? And everybody pray this very spiritual prayer with me. Say this. Say, hallelujah anyway. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise today and thank him? Hallelujah. I know I've gone over by a little bit of time here, but I just really felt like it was important to get to that point. And I just want you guys to know God loves you so much. Karen and I love you so much. We are so blessed because of you. You're not the source of our joy, but you are a gift of God to God, or from God to us. And we're so grateful for you. And I just believe God's going to do amazing things in this next school year for your kids, your grandkids, for your family. And I believe that God is going to begin to show you the victory even now in whatever situation you're facing. Praise him anyway. Amen. Love you guys. Be blessed. Have a great week. We'll see you in midweek.